So the second part of my talk here is, the extension service, we're going to kind of start a large project now where we're going to really try to focus on reducing the labor requirements in Clink Peaches. And obviously the industry is just going to have to go that way if we want to survive. So there are many, many different ways to do this, and one of the things that I've been kind of working on in the last few years is a chemical blossom thinning of Clink Peaches. I've used different materials in the past, but there was some data that Kitron has shown, as well as Harry Andrus, who's a farm advisor of Fresno County, has shown using ammonium thiosulfate, which is a pretty common nitrogen fertilizer and pretty inexpensive. And they were showing some pretty decent results, so I thought I would give it a try this last year. Okay, so I had two different trials, and we did this at the Superior Fruit Ranch with Scott Long, and the varieties include Lodell and Andros, and the materials, ammonium thiosulfate, which again is it's a pretty common nitrogen fertilizer, and then Activator 90, which is a surfactant. And so you take and mix these. This is ammonium thiosulfate, the Activator 90, produced by Loveland Products, but it's distributed by United Ag Products. So here are the two treatments. There are, the first treatment is a 0.2% ammonium thiosulfate. Actually, the Kitron uses 0.1%. I forgot that I only had 50 gallons of water in the tank instead of 100 gallons, so I actually put in twice the concentration that I meant to. So I actually had 0.2% ATS, and that is 0.2 of a gallon in 100 gallons of water. And that is take mixed with 5% of this surfactant, so that's obviously 5 gallons of Activator 90 in 100 gallons of water. The second treatment was 1.5% ATS, and this is a huge, huge difference between these two treatments. But this is what Harry Andrus was suggesting, and as it turns out, this rate is just... I'm not sure exactly what Harry was smoking when he came up with that rate, but this is an extremely high rate, and we damaged the trees and thinned off all of the profits, plus probably some this year as well. So they're applied with a tractor, air blast sprayer, about 120 gallons per acre. The bloom stage we're shooting for is about 70 to 80% bloom. We got that in Lodell's. I think the Andros were a little bit beyond that, and I'm kind of wondering if maybe we were just slightly too late with that. And so we go through this whole process. We tag all these hangers, count all the blossoms on the upper and the lower hangers, on the south side or the north side of the trees, and we come back just prior to hand thinning and count the fruit that are on those limbs, and we count determine the fruit set. Two different orchards. First one is a Lodell block. This used to be a cordon, and now it's been transformed to a little more of a vase-shaped type tree. But it's high density, 360 trees to the acre. This is a younger Andros block, 16 by 18, 150 trees to the acre. Okay, so we'll go through a couple of photos here. This is what the Lodells look like untreated, but this is 4 days after we put our treatment out. With a 0.2% ammonium thiosulfate, now you can see the blossoms that were damaged or burned by the ammonium thiosulfate treatment. And then when we looked at the real high rate, we could see we really damaged a whole lot more blossoms. And you can't see it right now, but there's some phytotoxicity to the leaves as well. So this rate is just not a good rate. Okay, percent fruit set. Untreated. These are in the Lodells. Tops and bottoms, we had an average of, 73%. So pretty consistent there. Where we put our low rate of ATS on, we did bring the percent fruit set down a bit, not as much as I was hoping for. So we had about 12% less set, which is not quite enough. And where we had the higher rate of ATS, we really knocked the heck out of it. And with the Andros, the lower percent set to start with and the untreated, And we did not have quite as much of an effect with the ATS. You know, it's funny because we, through the years, when we've tried to do thinning in Andros, it's just never worked as well in Andros. Lodel seems to work well. Andros has always been tougher to use chemical thinners on. So probably should switch to another variety. Some of these varieties just aren't going to work well. Some I think will work very well. Okay, the effect of blossom thinning on fruit size at hand thinning time. So the Lodels, this was May 11th, and you can see we got, by thinning earlier, the fruit size was already a little larger at hand thinning time. Now this was, goes back to the talk we just had. You know, you have a certain amount of carbohydrates that the tree is able to get out. It's kind of like old Mother Hubbard in the shoe. You know, she's got all these kids and she only has a certain amount of food she can give each kid every day. The more kids you have, the smaller each of those kids are going to be. So so we get a little bit of a fruit size bump at hand thinning time because there are a few fewer fruit on the tree. Andros, we got some bump as well, but not quite as much. Okay, so time and associated cost to hand thin these things. So we timed the thinners as they came through. Average thinning time per tree in the Lodels. And remember, these are high density trees. We didn't. There's not a huge amount of difference here per tree. And when you multiply it out on a per acre basis, we saved about 10 man hours per acre cost of thinning. So we saved about $111 per acre in hand thinning cost. Not as much as we were hoping. I also think that they tend, when the thinners come through, they tend to over-thin these chemically thin trees a little bit because they're moving, well, they're used to, I think, pulling off a certain amount of fruit, and they move into trees that have fewer fruit, and I think they still pull off maybe a little bit more than they need to do. But anyway, so we were able, it's a, you know, a very modest amount of labor savings, but it was something. Now, this one we saved labor, but you'll see later, there's a reason for that. The Andros, more modest, and again, it just didn't work quite as well, and so this is really going to be about a push when it comes to the cost of the material that we're putting out. Okay, so influence of blossom thinning on gross income per acre. So this is really the bottom line of the whole thing. This is in the Lodels, where we did not treat, there was about 22 tons per acre. Where we did treat with a lower rate, we had about the same amount, 22.3 tons to the acre. And then here you can see where our high rate of ATS, we knocked the heck out of it, and we only had, and so half the crop was gone, essentially. So you look at the gross income, and this is based on this year's price, as far as, at least that's what I understand it to be, and plus a $38 ton premium for Lodels. Hand thinning costs, $925 in the untreated, out of $814. So again, you know, we didn't really save that much. Then you add the chemical thinning costs on top of that, and here's your gross income after thinning costs, and here's our increase or decrease. So we increased in this, in the low rate of ATS, we had about $138 per acre gross income increase. Where we use a really high rate of ATS, we actually lost about $3,000 an acre. So, the bottom line, we increased income a little bit with a lower rate of ammonium thiosulfate. The chemical blossom thinners through the years have given variable results. And my experience is that we generally underthin. And every variety, every block is different. Every grower is different. So growers are going to have to experiment a little bit on their own. But I think in the past, the problem has been that previous thinners have been pretty expensive. And so if you're going to go out and put on a, you know, $200 an acre material and it doesn't work, then that's something that growers really can't go out and experiment like that. But ammonium thiosulfate is very cheap. It's about $1 a gallon. You're using 1/10 or 2/10 of a gallon per acre. So you're looking at 10, 20 cents for materials. But the Activator 90 is a little bit more. I think it's about $14 a gallon. And if you're using 5%, the total cost here is about $70 an acre. So not a huge expense. It's not that cheap, but it's not a huge expense. And when you're looking at $800, $900 an acre to thin, then I think it's maybe worth playing around a little bit with these thinners. Wow. Did I just go backwards? I think that was it anyway. Well, that's it. It is now. So anyway, that was pretty much the end of the talk. And so the bottom line is that this ammonium thiosulfate, I think, shows some promise. And you still have to kind of tweak it a little bit. I'm going to try it again. And you know, we tried it out. We spray out here in these trees, and I used quite a bit of a higher rate. And we didn't have the kind of damage that we had at Superior Fruit Ranch. Some of the varieties were overthinned. Some of the varieties were underthinned. Ross seems to be very sensitive. The Regals and some other ones seems like we didn't thin enough off. So there is, you know, you're going to have to play around quite a bit. But for $70, I think, an acre, I think it's worthwhile going out and putting out some low rates of this and kind of playing around with it a little bit. Carrie?
Yeah, Ron, a couple of questions. Is it the thiosulfate or the ammonia?
Kittering can probably answer that better than I can. I don't know. And it's also and it is in combination with the surfactant as well.
Why so much surfactant?
Because that's what the researchers that have done in the past have shown to work. Now, I know that Kittering this last year has been doing some smaller scale stuff where she's looking at different rates of surfactants, different rates of the fertilizer. I would like to see maybe that if we can get the surfactant rate down just a little bit, down to maybe 3 or 4%. You know, entry was another material that we played around with, and that was at 3%. And so, you know, maybe we can get the surfactant rate down a little bit. This is something we're gonna have to play around with.
And then what about like the silicon?
Yeah, I'm gonna refer that. Kittering's gonna talk about that a little bit later. I'm gonna leave that. So she can explain it when she gets to her talk. Yes?
Just out of curiosity, what was the size difference on the one that you've overthinned?
The size difference at harvest?
Yeah.
I actually had that on a slide. I think I probably slipped right by it. But there wasn't that much of a difference.
It wasn't significant.
It was the fruit were bigger, but not a huge amount bigger. But the you know, in the way that when we did our sampling, this fruit had already been sorted, so we pretty much just had the fruit that were not culled and measured those. But there was a difference in fruit size. They were larger, but obviously didn't make up for the number of fruit that weren't there. Yes. The question was basically what was the distribution of the thinning process with the chemical thinner. I try to actually target more thinning towards the top of the tree just because there are more fruit up there, and those are the more expensive fruit to thin. But it's not a real great... it doesn't thin it extremely evenly. When you go through and thin, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to get rid of hand thinning with this. You'll have to go back through and you'll have to break up clusters. You know, there are going to be cases where you have a limb that has very few fruit on it, and there's a limb right next to it that has a lot of fruit on it. And so you have to go through and break up those clusters on that other limb. So it's not a perfect system, but I think it warrants playing around with. Yes?
Do you have any ideas of going by air?
Question was, what about trying it by air? And coverage is extremely important, so my guess is that going on by air is probably not going to be very workable. And I don't think that would work very well. Plus, I don't know, with drift issues and everything else, I'd hate to drift a blossom thinner onto, you know, something else, because you obviously will, you know, you could get some phytotoxicity on other crops. But my guess is that going on by air probably would not work very well.
Problems with loss of light and brown rot from
the damage to the blue. So the question was, is there effect on disease and blossom blight and things like or brown rot and things like that?
No.
Yeah, and I think that the answer is no. And certainly we didn't see any difference. And if you're in a normal fungicide program, then I think that would probably not be an issue. Okay. Thank you very much. And if anybody is interested in playing around with this, and kind of the general theme of this afternoon is going to be reducing labor in Clean Peaches, and so we'll hear some more about this kind of a thing. So if you have questions, or if anybody would like to experiment, play around with this stuff, please give me a call.
Thanks, Roger. Well, Kittredge and Glozer is our next speaker. As you heard, she's been working on both chemical and mechanical thinning of peaches. She's here primarily to talk about some experiences with shake thinning of peaches, but Kittredge, I understand you're agreeable to address a couple of the points that were brought up with Roger, so she'll do that too. Kittredge is a project scientist from UC Davis.
Thanks. We've been working in chemical thinning of this type for at least 10 years. So I'm going to answer some of those questions that were thrown out there just based on the work that we've done. We've been working with ammonium thiosulfate for quite some time. We started working with it in combination with entry. Entry's always been expensive, and again, like Roger said, the variable response is always an issue. There is no perfect situation with chemical thinning unless you just want to remove all the fruit. That's always a possibility. But that being said, I can say that we abandoned entry based on three things. Cost, Wilbur Ellis took thinning off the label, and we always had small shoot dieback. There was always phyto with it. What you saw Roger show was what Harry did the year before was what I did 2 years ago. So where I am right now with ammonium thiosulfate, and again, there are going to be varietal differences, but let me just tell you basically where we are with it right now. 0.1% looks pretty good. Surfactant makes a huge difference. No, I don't believe that anything that's silicon-based is going to do the job. What's always worked is penetrance. Entry is a strong penetrant, and everything that we've worked with that has shown any efficacy is a penetrant. Activator 90 is a fairly safe one. I tested that first when entry was not an option anymore. I've done additional testing, and there are other penetrants that look more promising than Activator 90. Concentration will come down. I'm working to develop some of those issues with agribusiness right now from the results that look the best from last year, and we're going to do more testing this year. There are definitely companies that are interested in developing this technology and working with us for your industry. Cost is always an issue, so that's one of the things that we address besides what will work. Important points in getting this to work. Stage of bloom is very important. ATS, and as far as whether it's the ammonium or the thiosulfate that is working, I can't answer that. I do know that there are other compounds that do the same job, but this is what we can use here without labeling issues, and it does work. It works by burning the stigma, the pistil, and it prevents pollen from penetrating and fertilizing. So if you've got flowers that are have already got pollen that's germinated on them, chances are it's not going to work there. So stage of bloom matters a lot. What didn't work in the Andros is probably that it went on at 95 to 100% full bloom. For efficacy, you've got to hit those flowers when the average on the tree or the average of the flowers that you want to remove, if you're trying to target different parts of the canopy, are at about 70 to 80% of full bloom. So it's okay if some of the flowers are in late pink bud and they're going to open the next day and some are in petal fall. What you want to do is get as many of the flowers that are open but not pollinated as possible. Targeting certain areas of the canopy. I'm going to address that in sort of a forward-thinking way. What we're looking at is increasing mechanical thinning, and then how do we make that work, whether you're looking at chemical thinning as part of that program or hand thinning as part of the program. Where are your best fruit? They're up at the top of the tree. Which are the easiest to shake if you're mechanically thinning? The ones at the top of the tree. So preferentially what you want to do is remove the fruit down at the bottom that's hard to shake, it's easiest to pick, but if we're trying to reduce labor, then what we want to do is maximize the good crop. That's what's up at the top. So if I, one of the attacks that I'm going to take on this starting this year is preferentially targeting the lower half of the canopy with bloom thinning and leaving as much fruit up at the top as possible. And then if I need to, depending upon what final set looks like or 1 month after bloom, if I need to shake thin, that fruit up there is the easiest to remove, so it's going to be the easiest to manage as far as just a little bit to remove. And if I don't have to worry about removing what's down below because I've chemically thinned it off, that may be an advantage. So that's one strategy we're going to look at. As far as other chemical thinning agents, there's some that we're going to revisit that have been very successful in the past. And so what we want to do is just revisit this whole chemical thinning issue, realizing there's variability there, but if we have it as part of a total integrated program with shake thinning and possibly hand thinning as a touch-up, that's probably going to be a good tool that we're going to work on developing. As far as breaking up clusters, we found in everything we've done with chemically thinning, if you take off enough fruit overall, you can leave 2 fruit clusters. 3 to 4 fruit clusters, you're reducing fruit size. But again, you've got to go for what that tree can bear as a crop load overall in part of that mix. And the other thing that Roger said that's very important, this year we really learned our lesson. If you've got an extremely heavy crop set and you've got really warm temperatures during that first 30 days, no matter what, it's going to be really hard to size. So whatever you do to thin, think extreme. Thin, 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 thin. So if that means coming bloom thinning, follow up shake thinning, those are your two options to approach first. And do it hard if you've got that heavy set and warm temperatures. And any other questions, if there's time at the end, I'd be happy to address them to the chemically thinning stuff, but I'd prefer to go on to my main thrust today, which is to show you the results of mechanical thinning for 2 years.